All of the newest episodes of Note to Self are now available on the Luminary podcast app. It's free to download, and you can also listen to other podcasts from WNYC studios like Radiolab, Two Dope Queens, Snap Judgment, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, and others. Luminary Premium is the only place where you can enjoy the entire new season of Note to Self, plus new original podcasts you won't find anywhere else, from Trevor Noah, Roxane Gay, Guy Raz, Lena Dunham, and many more. And you can enjoy them ad-free. Start your free trial by going to luminary.link/note to self or download the Luminary app for free.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is New Tech City, WNYC's weekly look at how technology is changing the way New Yorkers live. I'm Anoush Zomorodi. This week, convicts and technology. Right now, about 55,000 inmates are living in New York State's 60 prisons. None of these prisoners have internet access or are allowed to use cell phones, tablets, or laptops. It's a low-tech, insular world. But what happens when they're released? Before these former inmates can even look for a job, they need to learn how to get online, how to use a smartphone, and figure out all the other digital tools that are part of our everyday lives. As WNYC's Dan Tucker reports, after a 10, 20, 30-year sentence, for many, leaving prison is like stepping out of a time machine.
Jesse Pender is 48 years old, and he spent much of his 30s and 40s in a facility upstate called Clinton Dannemora. When he went to prison in 1998, cell phones were a lot bulkier, and people actually used them for calls. The iPod and iTunes, they were still years away.
And I had a Walkman and a beeper. That was the stuff, and big radios. So coming into this new technology for me was just, it was like going from the old ages to Star Wars that fast.
First, he had to learn how to use a simple flip phone.
My aunt, she got me a phone, and I didn't know how to cut it on. And to be honest with you, I was very frustrated because after doing all that time and coming home and all these gadgets and all these buttons on the phone and stuff like that, for me, it was very overwhelming.
That's a common response, says Barry Campbell. He's the special assistant to the director of the Fortune Society, an organization that helps formerly incarcerated people like Pender rebuild their lives.
You know, people that have done 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, you know, I see the horror in their faces, but I also see the fear. There's a fear that they will never catch up. They'll never be where other people are.
And Campbell says it's not just tech. Prisoners aren't used to crowds or dozens of choices of toilet paper or toothpaste at the grocery store. Sometimes they're away from home for so long, the very landscape of their neighborhood changes, and they can't find their way around.
You know, the broader picture is they've just missed out on so much. The image I have is Rip Van Winkle. You go to sleep, and then you wake up and you're in a different universe.
That's Joanne Page, CEO of the Fortune Society. She says sometimes these Rip Van Winkles have to learn new technologies that seem basic to the rest of us, like TV remotes and Metro cards. How much they have to learn depends in part on how long they were behind bars. 80-year-old Vincent Hutchinson, known as Hutch, went to prison in 1963. That was before the first countertop microwave went on sale. He got out in 2008, the year the iPhone 3G debuted.
Cell phones and computers, I never knew until I did get out. The cell phones, it was something like out of Dick Tracy. When I was a kid, Dick Tracy had one that he can talk into on his wrist and see people.
Once former prisoners learn new technologies, the effect can be transformative. Jesse Pender has adapted faster to new tech than some.
Now I'm not no expert in computers, but I feel I'm doing pretty good for somebody that spent 13 years in prison.
He uses Gmail to apply for jobs and has a Samsung touchscreen phone with apps and Wi-Fi. And since he can't leave the state because he's on parole, he video chats with relatives in North Carolina. Then there's Alvin Ensminger. He went to prison in 1986. A few months after getting out in 2009, he joined Facebook.
I was at my friend's house, and we were on the computer, and this thing comes up with him. Oh, my God, Pop, is that you? And I said, unbelievable.
Ensminger lost touch with his son while he was in prison and hadn't seen him in 20 years. Now they hang out in person almost every week. For WNYC, I'm Dan Tucker.
With about 1 in every 100 American citizens behind bars, the people at GovLab decided to brainstorm about improving the country's prison system. GovLab is a think tank within Deloitte Consulting that explores how innovation can improve the public sector. And what they came up with is something called virtual incarceration,
you take low-level, nonviolent offenders out of those costly prison cells and you put them, integrate them back into the community with a system of support and monitoring that keeps the community and the offenders safe.
That's Kara Schuler, one of the Deloitte consultants. The support and monitoring that she's talking about would come in the form of a smartphone. Okay, so let's say there's this guy, let's call him Frank, who was convicted for drug possession. Instead of a prison sentence, he'd get a smartphone that would award him points for keeping his job or making his counseling sessions. With more points, he'd earn more privileges. Here's how Kara describes what sentencing in the future could be like.
Once the system determines that you're a good candidate for the program, you are equipped with an ankle monitoring device that allows GPS tabs on you. You also are equipped with a lockdown smartphone that has specific apps related to your sort of needs. So Frank's app might be Breathalyze. It's an app that detects via eye movements and the phone on your camera if you've imbibed, if you've had alcohol, perhaps in Frank's case, marijuana, but it sort of enables you to have a sense of what's happening in the system of the offender.
Kara says a lot of these technologies already exist, and with state budget crunches, every option needs to be on the table. It costs $78 a day to keep a person in prison, not including the $90,000 it costs to build a single cell. This smartphone monitoring system would cost about $25 a day. We had such a huge response to our event on women in tech last week that we're keeping the conversation going on Twitter with our panelists. So join us today at noon with Callie Williams-Yost, CEO of Flex Strategy Group, to talk work-life integration. The hashtag is WomenTech. And if you don't use Twitter or know about chats, go to our website, newtechcity.org, for a quick explainer. You can also watch the event there, or if you're on the run, download it as a podcast available on iTunes. I'm Anoush Samarodi, and this is New Tech City from WNYC.